Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 62 of Macabre Misfortunes. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, we're going to be doing a live show in Buffalo in July.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited to be able to go to Niagara Falls when we go there at that time. So when people think of tragedies at Niagara Falls, I'm sure most people are going to think about people that like go over the falls in the barrels.
Right. Which, I don't know why they do that. So
crazy. Well, there have been several people who've lost their lives that way. There have been some other tragedies that have happened there. And I'm going to tell you about one of the most important ones here today. So let's learn a little bit about Niagara Falls, first of all. It's actually a set of three waterfalls. The largest of the three is known as Horseshoe Falls, and it actually straddles the American and Canadian border. Both of the countries actually earmarked the falls for preservation back in the late 1800s. Constant efforts have been made ever since to kind of make sure that they have preserved the area.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people every year visit the falls. It will be two of them.
Thousands and two.
Horseshoe Falls alone, by itself, is, in case you didn't know what alone meant.
I think I might know that one.
It's the most powerful waterfall in all of America.
Wow.
Get this. Combined, all three falls, 6 million cubic feet of water passes through the falls each minute.
A minute?
A minute. Now, here's the key to this story, though. Every winter, huge quantities of ice, snow, and slush get washed over the falls, as you can imagine. Sometimes this mass of frozen material flows down the river, but not all the time. Sometimes this ice, these ice masses, I should say, crash together and they form a big frozen area itself.
Okay, so they kind of stick together.
They stick together, they freeze in place. When this happens, it forms a solid ice bridge from one shore to the other shore at the base of the falls. This is what happened back in 1912. It was pretty exciting for most people. Enterprising businessmen were really quick to go out and erect shacks and shanties and stuff on top of the ice. They offered visitors who were just brave enough to actually step out onto the ice the chance to buy refreshments and have their pictures taken, even ride horses on the ice.
Oh my gosh.
Some people even chose to spend the night out on the ice, like in tents or something.
They are brave or dumb one. I don't know which one it is.
Well, people came in droves. There wasn't quite the infrastructure system that's set forth today, but there was provisions made for tourists. For example, you could ride out to the falls by tram or horse-drawn carriage. There was also an elevator once you got there that would carry you up to the top and then back down to the bottom where the frozen falls were. Of course, the elevator was there for any time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it would take you back down there. And people were fascinated that the fact that these falls were frozen at the time.
I mean, I can't imagine what it looked like. It had to be unbelievably beautiful.
I've seen pictures. It is awesome. There were the types of views that you could never get in the summer with this being frozen, and that's why so many people wanted to check it out. People even sled on the huge mounds of snow and ice that had fell from the falls. Now, many of those who played on the ice bridge would have been reassured by its sheer size and solidity. This thing was a mile across.
Yeah.
In 1912, the ice was 8 feet thick in places.
Wow.
And it was firmly anchored to both shores, the American and the Canadian side. So people thought, you know,
it was safe.
Yeah, why not? From shore to shore, like I said, it was about a mile wide. But for whatever reason, around noon on the 4th of February, 1912, the ice bridge gave way. It dissolved into dozens of pieces of now moving ice.
Oh, boy.
Because think about it. It all broke up, and now because it wasn't attached, it could just go down the river. There were 35 people on the ice bridge at the time this happened. Many were able to scramble to safety. Four of whom, though, weren't quite so lucky. Two of the four, Ignatius Roth and Burl Heacock, were having a snowball fight. That's when the bridge broke up.
So it was their fault.
They were, no, that was not their fault. But they were longtime friends. They both took off running towards the Canadian shore. But they both found themselves cut off by a short stretch of icy water. And I'll tell you what happens next after this quick sponsor break. All right, Tracy, so they're cut off by this little short stretch of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roth immediately jumps in and wades across the rest of the way to the shore.
Yeah, I was going to ask how far it was, because if it wasn't that far, I mean...
Yeah, it's not very far, but it's not. It's ice-cold water in February, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But regardless, you got to do what you got to do. When he got to the other side, there were several people that were waiting to kind of pull him to shore, and once they did this, they got him kind of wrapped up, you know, from blankets and stuff like that, and got him warm. Well, Heacock was going to do the exact same thing, but he heard a cry from help or for help from behind him. So instead of jumping in the water, he thought for a second and turns his back, and he gave up his chance for escape. The plea for help was actually coming from Eldridge Stanton and his wife, Clara. Clara had collapsed on the ice, possibly from exhaustion. He was unable to carry his wife himself, so Heacock ran back to help. The two men picked up Miss Stanton and they headed toward the Canadian shore, but it was too late. The small patch of water that Heacock's friend had waded through was now like a raging river. The three were trapped on a moving chunk of ice in the middle of a raging torrent of water.
Oh, no.
It was slow but turbulent. The ride was about an hour long, and the chunk was actually rocking back and forth and hitting stuff in the water. Because of all this shaking and stuff going on, eventually this large slab they were on broke into two pieces. One piece crashed into the American side. Unfortunately, the three of them were on the other piece.
Oh, crap. Are you kidding?
Still being rushed down the stream, they were just trying to do everything they could to survive, but I mean, you're helpless.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
Right.
It then broke apart again. This time, it separated the three. The Stantons were on one piece, and Heacock was on the other. Witnesses say that they actually waved goodbye to each other as the two pieces split. Further downstream, there were some actual bridges, like over top of the water. As the three passed below one bridge, rescuers were not able to get there in time. So they rushed to the following bridge, a little further up the river, and the firemen and the police and railway workers were actually set up trying to help. They had ropes and everything ready to hand down to them. Heacock was actually the first to grab one of these ropes, and unfortunately the rope stretched too much, and it dipped him into the freezing water. While he was in the water, he was being battered by several blocks of ice.
Oh, Jesus.
That were actually traveling along that way. But he did manage to hang on as they slowly pulled the rope up. The crowd actually started cheering. They were assuming they were actually getting to see at least one of these people rescued.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though, this was not to be. Heacock was exhausted. He lost his grip, and he slipped down the rope. He even tried to grip onto the rope with his teeth. but he fell into the water and disappeared.
Oh my gosh.
Never seen again.
And the other couple? What about them?
The Stantons were passing under the bridge. Mr. Stanton grabbed a rope and he tried to tie the rope around his wife's waist, but the rope broke when it got tight.
Dude.
They got to the next bridge. He grabbed another rope and began trying to tie it around her waist again, but they were moving so quick, it was obvious that it wasn't going to work, so he just gave up. He kneeled down. The two kissed each other.
Oh my gosh. Don't make me cry.
As they entered the rapids, where they quickly were swallowed up by the mist and the foam. None of the bodies were ever found.
Never?
Heacock was remembered as a hero, and the Stantons, just for future knowledge, had been married for 6 years. And they actually loved the falls. They had been there once in the summer and once in the winter. So some people at least found gratitude that if they died, they at least died at a place they loved. The Ice Bridge disaster was the first time that people were ever encouraged to cross the Niagara Falls when it was frozen in the winter. And ice bridges still actually form sometimes today, but rarely as thick as it was 100 years ago.
Oh my gosh, what a story. Aww.
So we can think about that when we actually go. Because I don't know how many people know this. Now, I was talking to Jen today. She actually lives in Buffalo. And she was telling me that, you know, of course she knows the story because if you live in that area,
yeah,
that's something that would be, you know, something that's just part of your history. But I would bet most people don't know that story.
That is the saddest story I've ever heard.
And I would encourage you to look up the Niagara Ice Bridge disaster on Google, and you will find some cool pictures. So.
It reminds me of the old man and the old lady on Titanic.
I knew the whole time you were going to talk about the Titanic.
They're just like landing and holding each other as the ship sank. Aww.
Maybe that's where they got that from.
Maybe.
So, all right, guys, thank you so much. We love you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.